Good morning and welcome to the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Mettendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. This morning's show is being brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. Phone lines are open now. Call 395-1450. That's 395-1450. It's the WHTC Outdoor Show.
Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zealand, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Westonbrook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, and My Firearms ETS. You're listening to The Outdoor Show live right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station. Give us a call with your questions or comments on 395-1450. I'm Tom Mettendorf. I'm here with Bob Coles of MOA Gunsmithing, and believe it or not, Timmy's back. We're talking all about varmint hunting and varmint hunting loads. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 395-1450. How are you this morning, Bob?
I'm good. Good. Glad to be here again.
Excellent. Excellent. And Timmy?
Hi, Tom. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Good.
You look like a big red bush.
Yeah, I look good. We know this. We've been down this road.
Tim doesn't do the no shave November. He does the no shave all winter.
Yeah, winter. It's cold out.
He's got a built-in scarf.
Yep. Oh, man.
Oh, goodness gracious. Anyhow, where you been, Timmy?
Hunting quite a bit.
Hunting.
Yeah, hunting and... Yeah, spending some time with the family, too. Kind of been a nice to spend some time with him.
Yeah, you've got some nice posts there. I saw that Mama got a deer.
Yeah, Emily, my wife, shot her first buck. That was a highlight of my season.
Nice.
Yeah, she did real good. She can outshoot me. Not good. Yeah, no, we took her out shooting, and born and raised by Detroit, hadn't had a chance to shoot, you know, spent most of her time, you know, dodging bullets. But we took her out to the range, and I've got a CZ-527 American in a 223.
Yeah.
And Dad built up loads for that and whatnot, and I use that. And funny enough, we use that a lot for varmints, you know, and coyotes and whatnot. And we took her to the range, put her at 100 yards, and you couldn't determine one hole from another. And I said, well, wait a minute, let's move her out a little more. And we ended up at 200 yards, and she was shooting literally little corners or slivers of clay pigeons at 200 yards, never missed.
Wow, nice.
I said, give me that gun.
That's dialed in.
And I missed.
And you missed.
No, she was a great shot. And our first sit, we were probably in the woods for, I would say, an hour and a half when she actually harvested her first buck. But we got to the coop and started climbing up the coop, and I looked down one of our shooting lanes, and there was a deer standing down there. And so we got all the way up in the coop. Sat down, looked at it. It was a little button buck, and then a bunch of does came out. And out in front of us, we had a nice 6-point that had come out there. And I taught her how to, you know, put a good shot on an animal broadside. But I never talked about quartering away.
Uh-oh.
So as we're sitting there trying to discuss that, and she says, well, I know what you're saying. She understood that, but she felt more comfortable just waiting for it to turn broadside. It was going to do that.
Yeah.
And it just took off running.
Oh, no.
What? And about maybe 20 minutes later, down the 180, you know, degrees away, I thought it was the same buck came back out. And I looked at it, and, yep, okay, that's him. You want to shoot him? Yep. And she just put a textbook shot on it and went about 40 yards and expired. And it was a different buck.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. She did a real good job. I was very proud of her.
Sweet. So she was happy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was. And, you know, that was our conversation because she didn't know, you know, I'd really like to be able to go spend that time with you and see the wildlife, but I don't know if I actually want to pull the trigger or not. Push came to shove. She, get out of the way. Let me do this. Yeah. No, she had a lot of fun, and now we've got something her and I can do together. So that's kind of fun.
That's good. Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. Hour and a half, and she's a great white female hunter.
Maybe not even an hour and a half. Yeah, I mean, it happened quick, and That was fun.
Oh, I'm sorry you guys had to rough it and be out there so long.
Oh, I know. I know. As we were just talking about that rainstorm on that Sunday.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boy, it was cold, though. It was that first cold snap, maybe the second weekend of gun season.
Okay.
And it was blowing 20 mile an hour. Oh. And I think it was like 11 degrees before the wind chill.
Yeah.
Oh, it was cold. But we were in a coupe.
Nice.
Out of the wind. So that was fun.
With an LP heater and a television.
Hopefully you had the TV turned off.
Yeah. No, TV was on and the refrigerator was open, so we thought we were going to get busted by the light in the fridge. No, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have been out in that cold. That was cold. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not recalling the temperature. I'm just thinking about it, and I just can't recall the temperature, but I know it got cold.
Oh, it was real cold up there. Yeah, and it was weird because we went from that rain the weekend before to pretty much mid-30s all week,
oh,
I think.
Okay.
But then all of a sudden it just plummeted.
Yeah, you were up north of Big Rapids,
yeah,
right?
north of Big Rapids,
As my sons call that, the frozen tundra of Michigan.
It's true. It is.
It's the coldest spot and the hottest spot.
Yep. This farm that we're allowed to hunt, it's weird because 2 miles away from it, the ground will be, and this is no exaggeration, 2 miles away it'll be green grass.
Wait a minute, you just quantified what you were going to say before you said it, to say it wasn't an exaggeration.
You got it.
But it's coming out of your mouth.
You got it. Well, 2 miles away is green grass, and there'll be 4 inches of snow where we're at. Those snow belts are...
Yeah, they're thin.
They run, it looks like they run north and south.
He's telling the truth, folks.
Yep.
It really does happen that way.
Maybe 4 miles off 131, and there's just all of a sudden, it's a winter wonderland.
Oh, yeah.
You go 2 miles away, and it's just green grass. And
just like having that changeover at US 131 to the east of us.
Yeah.
Where it'll be snow, 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 and all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. It's the same thing up there, except that those run in the opposite direction.
You know, and that's funny you said that, because we had snow here when we left to go up there, and we hit just about East Zealand, east side of Zealand, and snow was gone. Same snow belt with that lake effect.
Huh. That's because there's always sunny skies above my home.
Yeah. Especially when you're in it, Tom. You brighten the day. I see what you're trying to say.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Chris, you want to chime in on this at all?
I don't have a mic.
I'll give you a mic. Yeah, so we had a lot of fun. She did good and very proud of her.
Excellent.
And my father-in-law, his first time out, he started hunting a little bit with me last year. Second day of season, he shot a great big 8-point.
Really?
So, my wife and father-in-law had a great year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's definitely awesome. Yeah. I'm just thinking, is she ready for some varmint hunting now?
I think she would enjoy it.
Well, you got coyotes right in the backyard.
Yeah. Well, this year it's fox.
Oh, really?
The fox are back there.
So the coyote are out because the fox are back.
Yeah.
Huh.
Is that true everywhere that coyotes and fox are not going to, if you got coyotes, you're not going to have fox?
Right, one or the other.
Yeah.
The fox tend to push the coyotes seem to tend to push the fox out.
Because 2 years ago, we had so many coyotes, it was actually kind of spooky, you know, at night.
Yeah.
All night long, they would be screaming.
Down in the bottoms there?
Yep, down in the bottoms, but they would come up into the yards, too. And
cool.
They would chase the...
That is
he calls it spooky.
That's heaven.
That's cool.
Well, it's like, it's nice. Okay,
yeah,
let's
but,
go.
I mean, it was, you know, spooky. We'd let our dogs out, and you could hear them running in the leaves, and as soon as you'd get the light on them, light with the gun, of course, but the light on them, you could see just a streak, and away they went. Yeah, and they would come right up in the yard. They had no fear of anything, having young children around.
Talk about making sure that... Television's off and the refrigerator door's closed.
Yeah,
we
got
to know you're there.
Yeah. 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 So, but now last year there was coyotes moved in the winter. Not many, but there was some. And this year it's fox. We've been seeing quite a few of them as we've been hunting back there.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Change of seasons, change of animals.
Yeah, change of critters.
Yeah.
Next
Mix
we'll
it
have
up.
The, yeah, next we'll have the turkeys move back. I'm ready.
Well, we're gonna figure out what we have to do to shoot those coyotes, and how do we, what kind of loads we need, and so on, in order to make those difficult shots. When we come back, the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Westonbrook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westonbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Genesis store, check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on the Outdoor Show. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, where we aim for safety. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. I'm here with Bob Coles. Timmy's back. Mm-hmm. We're talking about varmint hunting and varmint hunting loads. Well, we kind of talked about deer hunting because we had to. We had to give kudos to Emily.
Yeah, she done good. She done good.
And then we talked about the coyotes coming up in the backyard by your house last year.
Yep.
But typically, it's tough to get them coyotes in close.
Very tough.
So what would we use to make those long shots, Bob?
Well, it depends if they hang up around 200 yards or so, 300. You can use, you know, 22 calibers with fast twist. We were just talking about 22 250s, 55 grain bullets, and they kind of drift around a little bit when you get out there. The wind kind of blows them around a little.
Yeah, when you're talking 22 caliber, just so everybody knows, you're not talking 22 LRs.
No, we're talking all center fire. Yep, if we're talking about the dogs hanging up around 200 yards, and you can't get them coming in, they're howling, barking at you, and they'll do that all day, and you can't get them in. The stuff you want to select, maybe 220 Swift, 22 250s, you know, stuff like that. If you want to hang with the 22s, you can even go with the 6 millimeters, like a 243 or something like that. Even if you're going to bust out the 240 Weatherby mag, that thing's a zinger. But what you're looking at is something that will stretch out there 200 yards, be a good flat shooter, and you got some energy left you can knock them down with.
Yeah, not 200 yards on an arc.
No.
Yeah, 200 yards on more of a straight line.
Right, yep. Yeah, but anything you're going to get that's going to be pushing around 3,800 plus feet per second is going to be pretty flat shooting.
Yep.
And you, like I said, too, you want a lot of energy. But any of your larger varmint rifles, whether it be 22 or a 6 millimeter, even your 257s, I'm playing around with a super short Magnum right now. Not a very popular cartridge. And loading that up with a 75 grain bullet and pushing that around 3,600, but it's got a flat trajectory and it's got a lot of energy and it's fast. And that's what you're looking for.
When we're talking about a 75 grain bullet, give people a comparison between a 75 grain bullet that you're talking about versus other bullets, larger and smaller, so they can kind of.
Well, let's just say you're going to go deer hunting and your average 150 grain bullet. That's the weight of the bullet. You just set it on a scale, weigh it. Overall weight, 150 grains. 75 grain bullet, same thing, only it's a lighter bullet.
So it's less dense of a bullet if it's the same?
Not dense, it's less
it's
weight.
Smaller, it's smaller.
Right.
It's smaller in size.
Yep, length. Diameter is the same. By the ogive and everything, that's the same, but you're going to have less length. Unless it's a VDL, very low drag, they stretch those things out, and you have a shorter bearing surface in the bore.
Okay.
That gets into more.
Meaning how much is touching as it goes through.
Yeah, VLDs have less bearing.
The cone of it comes in before it hits the rifling. Yep. Very little of it has. It hits the rifling inside the barrel, giving it the twist as it leaves.
Yep, think of it like a cylinder. And if you had a 22 caliber cylinder, you've got a lot of bearing surface because it's flat. Now you start stretching that out, keeping the center, the right diameter, you're decreasing the amount of area that touches the bore, but you're making this longer, okay, so you can seat the bullet longer. So that decreases the amount of bearing surface in the bore. So that's the concept of VLDs.
Which the bearing surface creates friction, which creates drag, which slows it down before it actually gets
But the taper, forward and aft taper of the bullet, past 300 yards is where it improves accuracy. Now, if you had a flat base bullet, generally those perform good 200 and less. You get VLDs or boat tails. Boat tails don't start to really breathe till out past 200. Because the boat tail design, that's the taper on the base of the bullet. kind of like wind drift and drag,
yep,
really shines out past 200. So we're kind of getting off.
I was just thinking about that as you're talking. You know, the NASCAR probably got their wind and everything.
Wind design from?
Oh, yeah, they're probably ex-shooters.
Yeah.
But you want that? You want to get rid of that drag? You want to make that? You want that thing to zing through the air so it stays flat?
Right. Generally, for varmintine, you want a nice flat shooting gun, so you don't have to worry a lot about doping for wind or drop. Because think about it, if you're shooting a fox and he's in a field laying down, sunning himself, you have probably, with his fur all puffed up, I'll bet a 4-inch vital kill zone.
It's
from the
not
ground,
very big.
No, and you need, so if you have 4 inches and you're 300 yards, you better only have about 4 inches of drop or less.
Wow.
So there's ballistic programs where you can do point blank range, where you can dial in your kill zone, let's just say 3 inches, so you can zero your rifle at that yardage, where you can, let's say, point blank out to 350 and you're zeroed at X yardage. You don't have to do anything. You just put the crosshairs on center mass and squeeze. But you need flat shooting fast cartridges to do that.
And that's how we get those nice long shots.
Yep.
Because we can't get the critter to come in.
Right. They'll just hang up on you.
Yeah. Yep. They sit outside that zone and they say, ha ha.
Yep.
Ha-ha.
Yep. You get some calibers that kind of lose gas at about 300 yards. You know, then you want energy to make a clean kill.
Just 300 yards, we're talking about, if we take a quarter mile distance, 3/4 of that is about 300 yards. And, That's a long distance.
Right.
Three football fields.
Yeah.
That's the way a lot of people look at that.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's a long, long ways.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we see them in the fields out by my house. We see the coyote hunters take some long shots.
Pretty long pokes, yeah.
And you're like, wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That was pretty good. Offhand.
Yeah. Oh. Yep.
Well, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
Shooting them offhand.
Yeah.
Offhand meaning standing up and holding the gun for folks that don't understand that.
Yeah. Yep.
There's quite a science to flat shooting guns and getting guns.
Oh, yeah. You get into the powders and twist rates and bullets and start mixing things up.
Yeah.
And
yeah. But there's a lot of standard guns that we can get that people can use that they can get out there. And
yeah, there's plenty of production made off the shelf by factory ammo, and you can go out and do it with all store-bought factory.
Yeah, see, and my very popular ones that I sell at the store are the 223s, of course, the 22-250s, but the one that I've started selling more than anything is the 243. People are starting to get up a little higher in that 243 with a 100-grain bullet, which, in my opinion, is not needed for a coyote, but it's a heck of a good load.
Do they say what they're using it for? Is it for coyote hunting? Or I know a lot of people who have gotten 243s for youth and wives.
Oh, I still shoot 243s for deer. But no, that's become a very popular load for coyotes as well.
Probably for wind bucking.
Yeah, wind bucking, because you're shooting a 100-grain bullet.
Yep.
And what's that pushing at? 3,000 foot a second?
31? Yeah, maybe 27.
27, yep. Okay, a little slower.
Yep. Yep.
But you're pushing a heavier bullet through, so the wind drift that he's talking about, with that 223 and a 22-250, there's not much at 100. You hit 200, and there can be significant amount.
Yeah.
And something that I've seen before is while shooting, out at the range, we'll put wind flags up, and numerous times I've seen at 125 yards the wind flag blowing east, and at 180 it's blowing west.
Oh yeah,
so it's just swirling going through there, so that bullet's just going side to side.
Yep.
So you got
to
do your windage by Kentucky and Tennessee.
My eyes aren't so good, so I just kind of just pull the trigger and she goes right there.
Well, we'll be back shortly. The Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville has what you need. They carry over 40 different seeds for your wildlife food plots, plus many pre-mixed, pre-bagged food plot blends like G2, Northern Edge, and Tecomate. The Farmers Co-op has a full line of bagged fertilizers, including Triple 12 and 19, 624-24 potash, and urea for your food plot growing needs. Check out the Farmers Co-op for minerals and attractants. They've got Lucky Buck BB2 Appalicious and carrots and sugar beets in season. They've got you covered for all your fall hunting needs. Stop into the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville for a complete list of products and services. Check them out online at fcelevator.com. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on the Outdoor Show.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. For all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-sing, God bless America hunting and fishing needs. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're back, ready to answer your questions right here on the Outdoor Show. You were whistling, though.
I was trying.
Anyhow, for those of you just tuning in, I'm here with Bob Coles from MOA Gunsmithing right here in Holland. And Timmy's back. Powderhorn Guns and Archery, of course. You know, all your flag waving needs.
Yes.
I'm about ready to bust the sparklers out.
Bob Coles, MOA Gunsmithing. The guy to have things built by.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Fixed, built.
Fixed, built, refurbished.
Or advice.
Or advice.
Yep.
Wait a minute. How do you charge them for the advice? Do you get their credit card number
first?
Well,
first it depends on how in-depth we're talking.
Yeah.
So how do they get a hold of you, Bob, to ask you those questions of advice?
Just call the home phone, 399-1699.
399-1699.
Yep. Leave a message because I'm in and out a lot.
He works too, folks.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He's not like Tim.
Whoa. It's deer season. And then we go right into ice fishing, turkey,
oh.
Salmon. My year's pretty booked.
All of us get to play like Tim does.
I know. We'd like to.
Well, you just got to realize how to do it.
Yeah.
And then do it.
Emily, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, you know, we're talking about hunting those varmints, those coyotes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, honestly, the coyotes can cause a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah.
And decimate other species.
Yep.
In an area. And if they're not hunted out, sometimes they just feed it out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they take care of everything.
Sure.
And they're gone.
They overpopulate way too quick.
Yep.
Yeah, they overpopulate and they decimate the population,
yep,
of,
right,
rabbits and things of that nature. And they can just really cause a lot of damage. So,
mm-hmm,
part of that, what we have to look at is controlling that population a bit. And in the past years or the past decades, the control has gone down a lot. I have to say the control measures have come up the past 2 years because of fur prices.
Oh, okay.
Trappers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people stopped trapping and hadn't been trapping. Just the diehards like Irv, you know, he's going to trap. He's probably going to have a nice muskrat trap set with him in his grave. Because he just loves trapping and he's into it all the time. But that helps to control those populations. Just like muskrats, I mean, they repopulate like rabbits do. We don't hunt the muskrats, so the muskrats need trapping. The,
yep,
rabbits get hunted. But the coyotes, a lot of people stopped doing that because they weren't bringing any kind of price for the fur or anything, and it's not a desirable animal for food. And so
you don't have any in the freezer that you've cooked up? You don't have any backstraps from coyotes or anything?
No. Yeah.
Bob, you let us know how that tastes.
Yeah. If you ever had to, you know, had to skin one or have to harvest one, they don't That's just not a desirable thing. It's like skinning a skunk. No.
Oh, yeah.
That's what my trapping career led to. I tried trapping, caught a skunk, so that's enough of that.
And you were done.
Yeah.
Hey, just, you know, your trap had a cover scent on it.
It did. So
yeah,
does the area still.
Right.
And if you walked into the area, yep, cover scent.
Yep.
Someday I'll tell you about it, Tim. There is a way to eliminate that odor and skin a skunk without getting any trouble.
I'll bring them to you.
Mm.
You have fun.
No. I'm done with that.
I'll drag them to you because they're not going in the truck.
Anyhow, referring to the coyotes,
yep,
and hunting the coyotes, because they populate so quickly, but yet we can't get them in close. What are some tactics that we'd use to bring them in or get them in or get to them. You know, we have the guys that go out block hunting, and the young guys put on the snowshoes and they head along all the ravines and stuff and push them out.
Yep.
And the old guys wait on the other end of the block to get them out of there.
Yep.
But I watched those guys in action, and I watched a coyote elude. I mean, I could see the coyote and I could see them. And I watched that coyote elude, I think it was probably 8 guys.
Yeah, they're smart.
They couldn't figure out where he went. They were following the tracks, went into brush piles, didn't notice where he came out and everything else. It was pretty interesting to watch everything unfold.
Yep.
You know, and there's a reason they're called Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. Oh, they're smart, yep. Real smart.
Yep.
It's incredible. So what do you think, Tim? How are we somebody going to get started with coyote hunting?
Well, I think probably the most popular way of people hunting coyotes is with electronic callers to start.
Electronic calls are legal
in Michigan.
In Michigan,
yep.
For coyote.
Yep. Yep. And a lot of people will use those. A lot of them use mouth calls, and trapping is probably the most popular ways.
Trapping them.
And then electronic calls and other type of calls. Like you said, the pushers and the runners are starting to become real popular, but you got to get permission on some big chunks of ground to do that.
Very large tracks. Yeah. That's why there's groups of guys, because it's such a large tract of land, and Wile E. Coyote, he says, ha ha.
Well, you change the game. When you're pushing them and you're driving them, the other aspect is if you're trying to be the hunted with the calls.
Let them come to you.
You know, if you're doing mouth calls, you're doing electronic calls, and you're setting yourself up right.
Yep.
Let's just say, for example, you are on top of a little bit of a ridge. You can call a coyote out of that bowl up the ridge. You will never, ever get him to come into the bowl. Never happen. You can be
if he's
him.
He's in the bowl.
Come out. He'll go up the hill. They will never go downhill to pursue your call or the distress call or to try to find a free lunch. So you need to set yourself up as bait or as the hunted. They like to sun on the east side of mounds or dens. Usually have an opening to the east because they like the sun coming in to warm it up.
Get warm in the morning.
So,
because they're going to take a nap when the sun comes
and
up.
You can get some advantages if you become the hunted.
Yeah.
You know, get in there and do the calls. But I found, too, they always want to wind you. I don't care how you get set up and you got them coming in, you got your call set up, they want to circle around and wind what's making the call and what's for lunch.
So is it a good thing to have the scent lock gear on?
Yeah, or a cover scent.
Is that going to fool them?
Or a cover scent, or if you're hunting with two people, it's best to look in opposite directions because he's going to want to circle around.
Ah, yes. So you want to be with your back to the wind because he's going to go downwind of you to come in.
Right. It's not like deer hunting where you want to be, you know, upwind and then see him coming up to you. These guys circle you, sniffing. What's going on? You know, because, they want that distress call, the mouse squeak or whatever, the bleep, and they'll hear it. But yet they're awful cautious because he could be a gun-shy coyote that's been educated by a few
especially people around here.
Yeah.
In the Allegan area. They're hunted pretty heavily.
Yep.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've heard that game before. It's kind of like the second week of turkey season.
Yeah.
Those turkeys are starting to understand, wait a minute, that call doesn't sound so real.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like you were going to break into song, you know, the second week of deer camp, second week of turkey season.
Oh, maybe we're onto something here.
Yeah. No, they become educated real quick.
Yep.
When I've been out west and lived out west, it seems like a totally different dog out there. And I think a lot of it is that they're not interacting every day with humans out there. Here, you've got small wood pockets. They're constantly smelling humans, seeing humans. They know what they are.
Yeah.
We're out west. You see them quite a bit just sitting out in fields. Even like my farms in Illinois, there's so many dogs there, and they act like a coyote should, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think our dogs are so pressured that makes them more difficult to hunt them.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, which
is great. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland and ask about the storage options at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. With more than 13 years of educating people in the safe use of firearms, your experience with My Firearms ETS is sure to please. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328. We're back, ready to talk with you, 395-1450. I'm here with Bob Coles, and Timmy's back. Bob is from MOA Gunsmithing.
Yeah, nice to be here.
399-1699.
Yep.
If you're looking for any gunsmithing or any advice on some different loads and stuff, and, of course, Tim's not around, he's gone hunting, so call Bob.
Yeah, stock work or anything like that.
399-1699, MOA Gunsmithing, right here on the north side of Holland. And he does a great job.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Everybody I've talked to and everybody I sent your way, they all were very pleased.
Good. That's very great. Pleased. Yep. Try to do a good job.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing.
Yes.
That's what we like.
Yep.
That's why
try to make them safe when they yeah. get returned.
Right.
That should be
yeah.
your motto.
Uh-huh. There you go. Well, we're talking a little bit about coyote hunting and varmint hunting in general. Mm-hmm. You know, we could get into the woodchuck hunting and so on and things of that nature, but today specifically it's about them coyotes.
Oh, yeah.
Getting them coyotes to come in to a distance that we can, make a shot on them, and sometimes that doesn't happen. So then we go to the flat shooting guns.
Yep.
And we talked a lot about different guns and different calibers. Can you give a quick rundown on a few of them that are good ones for people to look for or to purchase?
Around here, probably the most popular is going to be your .22-250.
Mm-hmm.
And .220 Swift, you might find they're not as plentiful as that. We had just been talking about .243s. That's yep. a good one. It'll buck the wind a little better, downrange.
Uh-huh.
You can even bust out your .06s and run some 100 grains in there, or .270s, run some lower, grain bullets in there, and that'll work.
Yep.
Get a louder bark with it, a little more recoil. But the beauty of the whole varmint and coyote hunting is really no caliber restriction.
Yep.
You can use any center fire you want.
Okay.
300 mag, or if you want to just use a, .222 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. And
but
to
yeah.
just kind of throw it out there too, even though we are a shotgun zone for
right.
deer hunting, you're allowed to use center fire rifles for coyote hunting in this area.
Right.
Yeah,
yep.
I've met a lot of people who misinterpret what
yep.
that means.
Yep.
The shotgun
yep.
zone is for the deer hunting season.
Deer hunting
yes.
season.
Yep.
Yeah, but center fire are allowed.
Are allowed, yep.
And that's the beauty of the varmint hunting scene.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the other thing is, too, it helps to keep up the skills
yep.
of shooting,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
maybe a lot of people don't realize and a lot of beginners don't realize. You might shoot the target from the bench.
Yep. yep.
But that doesn't work.
It's different
right.
when you're out in that
oh,
field.
Yeah.
And something else, too, with the .223s, the .243s, the .22-250s, they're fun guns to shoot.
Right, low recoil.
Low recoil, especially the .223s and the .22-250s. They're very low recoil, very accurate.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you can take a stock gun and factory ammunition and shoot really well with them.
Are most of those guns the ones you use to hunt eggs, Tim?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I hunt eggs.
Oh, yeah.
As they drop out of chickens. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. Yep, that's what we hunt eggs with.
Yeah.
And that what we're talking about is egg shoots that are typically the only place is Fenville, isn't it?
No. I think South Haven has them.
So going a little further, we go South
yeah.
Haven.
Yeah, there's multiple egg shoots that
Our
happen
closest
around.
One would be Fenville? Or
Fenville,
not?
Yep.
Okay.
You and ever see people with wildcats for those egg shoots, or
oh, yeah.
is it just standard calibers?
Oh, no. You see a lot of wildcats.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Hmm.
Yep.
We'll have Bob there next time.
I may need to talk after the show and get some locations.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's fun. It starts up in April, I think, again.
Okay.
Yep. They don't do it much in the winter. And it's pretty amazing, too, with the egg shoots. in the winter, there's a lot of times with the 22, 250s, 223s,
yeah,
you'll hit them, and those eggs don't blow apart.
Oh.
Because they're frozen. You'll put a perfect bullet hole right through them.
Oh, really?
It's unbelievable.
Huh.
There was one time that me and another guy, you shoot three volleys of five, and we were on 14 straight, and I shot, and I said, miss. I said, okay. Went down, and there was a hole right through it. We shot that thing eight times before it finally came apart. Yeah. Just because they're frozen.
Huh.
Yeah. So
just sliced right through the egg.
Yep. Goes right through.
Huh.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think they just boiled them for you. And
that's what it is. Yeah. 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 Or they put them little eggs in there. Yeah. Wait a second now. I need ostrich eggs. That's the only way I can hit anything.
Well, you know, the point of the egg shoots, though, is that it helps to keep the skill of shooting sharp.
Oh, yeah.
And it's you can't just go out and get the gun and say, well, I can do this because I have the gun.
You know, and
good at it.
Something nice about the egg shoots there, at least, I don't know about the other places, you hang the eggs on like the Easter egg hanging brackets. And to go out there and just shoot an egg that's sitting there, okay, you can do that. But when that wind picks up and those eggs start moving, that's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
I mean, things are just flat moving.
Yeah, you got a quarter-inch bullet trying to hit a inch-and-a-half-wide egg at the widest point.
Right.
While moving.
Yep.
And you're at 100 yards and then 200 yards, right?
200 yards for center fire.
And any caliber restrictions?
No.
You can have a 300 Win mag?
They do that, and it's very loud.
It's very
loud. Wow, I got a nice 300 Weatherby I'd like to try that with.
Yeah. No, I was shooting one competition, and I was in between a guy with a 300 Win short mag with a break, and then the guy on the other side was a 300 Win mag with a break.
Yeah.
And then trying to shoot in between them. Finally, I said, hey, you shoot, and then I'll shoot.
Yeah.
Because, man, when that goes off around you,
especially
you think,
with a break.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've noticed that the smaller calibers and the sixes, the 6BRs, 6.5s, those have seemed to be the better choices out there.
Well, there's a lot of really great 6mm bullet selection.
Yeah.
They're huge.
Yep.
You know, probably 257s are on the weak side of bullet options out there with good, you know, high BC numbers, ballistic coefficients for wind drag.
Okay.
6mm are plentiful, and they got some good stuff out there.
But when it comes to that egg shoot, what's fun about it is everybody's willing to help. Everybody's willing to talk. It's not I lost, this is terrible. No, you can learn from everybody out there, what they've done, what their loads are, what they're doing. Everybody likes to talk. It's a friendly competition sport.
That's good.
Yep.
So any of the terminology that was used today that people don't understand, things of that nature, they could give a call to Bob at 399-1699, or they could give Tim a call at 796-0755.
Yep.
And find out what those things mean.
Yep.
I know when I first started talking rifles with guys like you, I was like, what are they saying?
I know what a 30-06 is and a 7400 Remington.
Well, yeah.
But after you explained to me what the terminology meant, I knew what you were talking about.
Yep.
I just didn't know the terminology.
Yep.
Right.
You know, to the understanding of the terminology. And that's just because, you know, because they know and they're around this stuff, they shorten up what they're saying, and sometimes they forget that we don't know.
And
we just don't know.
If you are interested in trying to coyote hunt or fox hunt, stop in at the store and we'll get you set up with what you need.
Nice.
127 North River.
You got it.
Awesome. Thank you for participating in this week's show. We'll talk to you again next week right here on The Outdoor Show.
Thanks for joining us this morning for the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Bettendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. Today's show has been brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. If you missed today's show or you'd like to hear it again, go online for the podcast at WHTC.com and join us next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for the WHTC Outdoor Show on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.